Welcome to the Coder Catch Up Podcast. My name is Jamie Jones. In this episode, before I get started, I want to talk about an event that I'm hosting here on the Gold Coast in Australia. It's called CodePen Gold Coast 2016. And as the name kind of suggests, it's a CodePen meetup. So if you haven't checked out CodePen, check it out at codepen.io. Amazing service platform. Check it out. It's backed by quite a number of very amazing developers and amazing people. They've got a great team there. It's a fantastic product. Highly recommend that one. But this event is happening on the 15th of September here on the Gold Coast. It's an evening event. It's free. Come along. I've left a link in the show notes to RSVP to that. So if you're in the area, definitely come along. Love to see you there and talk everything about front-end web development. If you want to speak too, when you ask for RSVP, you're asked if you want to speak, and you can just say, you're like, yes, I want to speak, and we can talk about slotting you in there to have a talk. So if you never talked before, it's probably a good one to get your feet wet and get in there and just talk about something about front-end web development, get your feet wet and get that first one under your belt. So hopefully see you there. Should be an exciting night. Can't wait for it. All right, so back on with the show. This one's going to be a kind of a pilot episode for a AMA or a Q&A kind of style show. So what I'll go through is, haven't quite decided yet, I'm going to go through 5 questions today, but that might change depending on, you know, how long questions are. I might just do like a 1 question per episode to keep these a lot smaller. We'll just see how they go. It might even just turn into an extra show that comes out during the week instead of just the normal weekly shows. But at the moment, this is just going to be a weekly show, and we'll see how that goes from there. So getting on with the 5 questions, our first one here is, what CSS framework would you recommend? Now, this is an interesting one because I generally don't use CSS frameworks per se anymore. This is due to Flexbox being fairly well supported. And if I need more of a traditional grid, which is generally what I use CSS frameworks for, and I believe a lot of people are using it mainly for the grid. And that's why I go for Neat and Bourbon. So this is I suppose you could call it a framework from Thoughtbot, but Neat is literally a grid system, that's it. And it uses mixins and functions from Bourbon, which is like a SAS library. And I will preface this, all the CSS framework and stuff that I'm going to talk about is related to pre-processed frameworks. So the SAS version of Foundation, the SAS version of Bootstrap, the SAS version of whatever. That's the ones I'm doing. You know, it could be a post-CSS, it could be less, but just anything that's pre-processed. So Neat just gives you what you ask for. So the thing is, it provides you with these functions or mix-ins that you can include, and then that will do whatever you need to do. So you include them in your selector, in your style sheet, and it just brings in the CSS for that particular selector. So this is keeping things very minimal, very light, and it really is just plain CSS. There's nothing amazing there, nothing special, nothing hidden. It's not bringing in extra things that you don't need. It's keeping it very light. Whereas a lot of your traditional CSS frameworks, they do include stuff that you generally don't need or might not be needing at the time, and it's adding bloat to your CSS file, it's adding extra classes, things like that, that you don't generally need. Now, a lot of the frameworks are making it easy, make it to be able to switch those things off. So Foundation is really good at this, make it very modular and easy to just include the things that you want. It also has some scripts that can remove any unused CSS, which keeps it light. Not too sure about Bootstrap 4, which I believe isn't out, at least at the recording of this episode. I think it's still in an alpha, or maybe it's in a beta. But yeah, so for me, I'd probably recommend at this point, because I've been going back and forth between Bootstrap and Foundation. And a friend of mine at work, he's using Foundation, and we've gone from Bootstrap to Foundation and Bootstrap now back to Foundation. It really just depends on what's going well and how the framework is working with certain projects. So I'd keep it open, but generally at the moment, I'd be recommending Foundation from Zurb. Beautiful framework, keeps things fairly lean. You can use all the SAS functions and mixins to do your grids if you want, or you can use their pre-built selectors. So yeah, that's my recommendation. If you're going to look into a CSS framework, check out Foundation. It also doesn't include many styles as well, so it keeps things fairly flat there, so you're not overriding as much. Even though a lot of it you can just configure via SAS variables. So that's my recommendation there for that one. Sort of the next question. There are a lot of frameworks coming out. What should I learn? Ruby on Rails seems popular, but so is Laravel. What are your thoughts? Now, it's easier for me to kind of go, yeah, Ruby on Rails, because that's generally what I write most of the time in terms of a server-side framework. There's tons and tons of frameworks out there, and more seem to be coming out, although it has slowed a bit, seeing as there's more of a push for your front-end or client-side frameworks like Ember. You could even probably put React in there, even though it's more like a DOM library. So I think that the two points here, Ruby on Rails or Laravel, these are kind of the ones that I look towards. Now, I used to be a PHP developer. I say that I used to be because I don't really do much PHP these days. I do a bit of PHP in Drupal and a bit of PHP in WordPress, but it's not to the same extent that I used to do, where I'm doing a lot of like low-level PHP stuff. It's there's no kind of DSL that's been provided by, say, WordPress or Drupal that I can use. So, yeah, it's easy to say Ruby on Rails because it is very popular. There's tons of tutorials, support out there. The community is really good. There's gems, or what they're known as plugins. They call them gems for doing a lot of things that you need to do. Makes it a lot easier. There's a huge benefits. The tooling alone for Rails, in particular, I suppose Ruby in general as well, are just phenomenal compared to any other language. I was having a talk with my friend Matt the other day. He was saying, because he's writing a Node app at the moment, and the tooling is just so much better. There's a lot of things that Rails handles for you. It makes it simple. But then on the other hand, Laravel does that as well. Laravel, the tooling for PHP isn't quite there, but Laravel certainly is close, or I'd probably say it is the PHP equivalent of Ruby on Rails. And, you know, it's built on Symfony, really, really robust PHP framework. It's fantastic, and it seems like the adoption is just climbing massively. 5.3 is coming out soon, although it might be already out by the time this episode airs. Fantastic. I know everyone who's used it loves it, and I've played around with it, and I love it too. It's, if I was doing PHP, Laravel's my go-to for sure, hands down. The main thing, though, I'd actually recommend Laravel simply because of the ecosystem. So it's with Laravel, it's not just the framework you get. Yes, you get the community and all that kind of stuff. Fantastic. But there's also the development tools for working locally, like Homestead and a few of the others. Then there's also the server deployment, server management, the hosting side of things there that's covered. There's tons of like screencast providers out there showing how to use Laravel. It's just massive. So what you get is pretty amazing, which I don't really see too much from other frameworks or systems. Like Ruby on Rails, they have services. You know, you could look at your Herokus and things like that. But with Laravel, there's a lot that's created just by Taylor Otwell himself that's really built to work with Laravel only. And it really does make a huge difference having that ecosystem. You think about Apple with all their devices there, the ecosystem works really well because everything's built kind of in-house and all to work together with just those particular things. That's the same on the Laravel side. Like, yes, you can use other providers and things like that for Laravel, but what Taylor has created really does create this amazing ecosystem and the robustness of specific like niche tools off Laravel to create SaaS applications. Very simple and easy, and it covers all the things you need to do out of the box. You don't have to do these same things over and over again. Like, there's so much that's been thought out and well done. So my recommendation for learning a framework is Laravel. And also because PHP, you're probably going to find more work for PHP because, let's just put it straight out there and be blunt about it, WordPress is still one of the most popular ways to get a website on the web. You know, it's still powering a huge percentage of the internet, and you know, it's a great tool. Like, I've started to get a little bit of disdain for it at times because just some things that frustrate me a bit, but yeah, there's always going to be work for PHP, at least at this point, and with PHP 7 coming out and how good the improvements are, it just makes it a no-brainer for me. So I'd highly recommend Laravel. Check that one out if you haven't already. If you've played around in the past and you're still not too sure, I'd still say just, you know, stick it out and and give it a really good shot, because I think Laravel's kind of the place you want to be. It's going to open a lot of doors for you. So on to question three here. Why is it bad to use jQuery over plain JavaScript? Now, I wouldn't say using jQuery is bad. I think it's just because it's kind of a wrapper, or at least a push for using plain JavaScript these days. And you see people like, why are you using jQuery here? Now, if your project already uses jQuery, then it's fine to use jQuery, but I'd probably say I'd be looking to make sure that you use plain JavaScript where possible. And this is because a lot of the time people are using jQuery in place of what could be done in just plain JavaScript very easily. This is more so because people haven't learned to use plain JavaScript. They learned jQuery first. And that might be because maybe you didn't do much JavaScript, you took over a project that uses jQuery, so you learned more about jQuery. So things like toggling classes or adding classes or removing classes, it's very simple in plain JavaScript. And if you think about what at least most people I know, they're using jQuery to, when you click on something, then do some kind of function. When you, you want to toggle classes, maybe show or hide something. These tasks can be done in like a couple of lines of plain old JavaScript. And that also reduces the complexity, makes it easy to migrate that code away later. If you want to get rid of the jQuery dependency, things like that, as well as a lot of the libraries, JS libraries and things coming out that are using like React. It's better to just use plain JavaScript. So there is that bit of a push. So I wouldn't say it's bad to use jQuery. Like, don't shun it away. It's still an amazing library and it definitely has its uses. But I think it's just because it's kind of become overused and maybe abused a bit. That's the real problem. So just make sure that you're evaluating where you can use just plain JavaScript over jQuery, because it does have a performance hit. Even though JavaScript is very quick and very efficient, it still gives it a bit of a performance hit, and yeah, you do get kind of locked into that extra dependency there. So TLDR, jQuery is not bad. You can still use it. Just make sure that you're only using it where it really becomes a big benefit to you, as opposed to just writing, if you're going to write one line of jQuery versus three lines of JavaScript, probably better off just doing three lines of JavaScript. Again, it really just depends on what you want to do, though. So don't knock jQuery so much. I know I do bash it a bit here and there, but that's simply just because it's been overused. And I think it's good to get that point across that you shouldn't abuse something where you can do something very simple without it. All right, so on to question four. What are your thoughts on using a full node stack? Is it easier than mixing JavaScript and PHP? This one is a little bit of a depends. It depends. If you're mainly using JavaScript throughout most of what you do, it makes sense to have a full node stack. So, for example, if you're writing a React application or an Ember application and you want to have something to back it maybe on the server side, then it makes sense to use Express. It's nice not having to contextually switch between two languages. Even though Node's a little bit different, it's still in the same kind of sphere there, and everything seems pretty much the same. So I'd recommend it in that regard. But say if you are mainly a front-end developer and you're using, or you want to create like a back-end service for it, if there's something that another language or another framework gives you that's better, might not be the same. So say you were using, or you would go to Express, maybe it might be better to use Laravel or Rails. It might be things that you're getting better there, or maybe you're looking at Phoenix or Elixir. There's benefits to using those there. So it really depends on what's going to be better for you. But I'd probably look at, if you're just doing a lot of JavaScript, you want to keep things fairly standard, you can create what is called a default stack. So for me, default stack is mainly Ruby on Rails, might throw in some React or Ember. That's kind of my like go-tos. In saying that, I will switch something out if need be. So for example, if something is better at running on an Express base, then Express is the way to go. You can switch those out. So I'd probably look at, because you're already thinking about using a full node stack, try it out, create your full node stack, use it, and see how that goes. But just don't be afraid to swap things out. Just because you're saying, yeah, I'm going to use a full node stack, doesn't mean you have to all the time. Don't be afraid to switch things in and out. And yeah, I reckon full node stack's great. There's a lot of benefits to it. It just depends on how you feel and how productive you are in it. At the end of the day, what you're building, it's not really going to affect what is used underlying for the actual end-facing user or customer. As long as that experience is good, then it's fine. It doesn't matter. You could use Java, you could use PHP, you could use JavaScript, you could whatever, as long as the customer is still getting a good experience on the front end or what they're seeing, then that's the main thing. So it's up to you what you do there. But yeah, NodeStack is definitely something worth looking at. All right, the last question here is, what do you do when you feel like you've reached a point where you're not improving your skills? So this is a really interesting one, and I've been trying to think about how to answer this because it is something I think a lot of us go through. I don't think there's too many people that don't, where you kind of feel like your skills plateau. And I think that's a natural thing. When we're learning things, you get this curve going up. You're learning, then you get to a point where it flattens out and you're kind of staying the same. But I feel like at those points, you're just kind of honing those skills that you learnt, refining them. And then eventually you learn something new and you go up again. And then eventually you plateau and you just keep doing this. But I feel like the more skilled you get, the longer the plateau is. And it's not necessarily a bad thing when it feels like your skills aren't improving. Generally, you are. So the more times that you're using a skill, you're going to be improving. So everything's going to become a bit better every time you do it. So previously, when you're writing, say, some markup, over time, you might find you're writing more efficient markup. So, you know, it might be less markup because you can do something better with CSS. You might be, instead of using divs, making sure that you're using sections and asides and mains, things like that, that they're all slowly improving and just becoming more rock solid. So that still is an improvement, but those can be hard to perceive at times. So it's an interesting one there. But if you really feel like your skills aren't improving, it might be because you're doing stuff that's just the same old thing. Like you're not trying something out of your comfort zone or trying something that's a bit harder just because of the general thing that might just work. You know, if you're at work and you're just doing that same thing, like maybe building a bunch of marketing sites in WordPress, you might not be doing any that's kind of really full on. So I'd give yourself some extra projects at home, or look at you trying a new language and just improving things that way. And you should start to feel like you're improving your skills a bit there. But it's the main thing is trying to push yourself outside of your comfort zone. And that generally, at least for me, it helps me feel like I'm improving my skills. Because anything that you learn that's new and you kind of get a grasp of that, that is an improvement on your skills, whether it be something that you can pull back in directly back into what you use on a day-to-day basis or not. You're still getting more knowledge about something which is going to more than likely impact what you do regularly. So something that's outside your comfort zone, somehow, maybe subconsciously, you're going to be bringing that back into your skills for what you do that's in your comfort zone. So there's definitely improvement there, but it's something that can't be perceived. And the reason why I say is because in the our web careers, we're constantly learning. There's things always new that's happening. Oh, guess what? New framework came out today. Oh, in 2 days' time, there's going to be another framework come out. So there's a lot changing, so we're always trying to keep on top of things, and that requires us to improve our skills, essentially. So that's what I'd kind of focus on, is giving yourself new little challenges and things to do that are outside your comfort zone that'll help you feel like you're improving. You know, once you tackle that challenge and you might not complete it, but you're definitely learning something new, or you might complete it and that'll be even more awesome. Another thing on top of that, maybe if you feel like your skills are lacking in a particular thing, say React or Redux or, you know, Laravel or some kind of software, check out some videos or do a course or go to an event or something like that. And that way you can actually go out there and do something that is going to benefit those particular skills. And you should be able to see an improvement from that, hopefully. So going to those kind of events and actually upskilling as much as possible makes a big difference. So you're actually going out there with a particular plan, like I'm going to go to this conference and I'm going to learn more and more about, say, JavaScript. So there you should be improving your skills just from going to, say, that event. So there's a few ways to do it there. I know it's a tricky one. It really depends on your situation. It's very case by case. But that's what I generally do. Like, set yourself some goals for things you want to try in your own time, or go to events, conferences, sign up for a course, something like that. All right, well, that's it for this first question and answer episode. I'd love to know your thoughts. You know, did you like it? What would you change? Anything like that. And of course, if you have any questions, I'd love for you to send them through and I can answer them here on the show. So if you have any questions, comments, anything related to the podcast, you can send them through to codacatchup@gmail.com. Send them through as a tweet to @codacatchup, or you can even leave them as a comment on codacatchup.com for this episode. I suppose you could also ask for them. We've got a Slack channel. You can find that at slack.codacatchup.com. Come in there, ask some questions, either have them answered there or have them answered on the show, as well as you can just talk some shop there on the Slack channel. I'm trying to build a community behind that. But otherwise, that's it for this episode, and we'll catch you in the next one.